The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to the 12, "Fear no one. Nothing is concealed that will not be revealed, nor secret that will not be known. What I say to you in the darkness, speak in the light. What you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. And do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in Gehenna. Are not two sparrows sold for a small coin? Yet not one of them falls to the ground without your Father's knowledge. Even all the hairs on your head are counted. So do not be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Everyone who acknowledges me before others, I will acknowledge before my heavenly Father. But whoever denies me before others, I will deny before my heavenly Father." The Gospel of the Lord. I grew up all through high school and really even recreationally through college and seminary playing a lot of soccer. So I've been very into the World Cup so far this year. It's good to see the American men's national team playing so well these first couple of games. But in soccer, there's kind of a saying amongst coaches that any team, no matter how talented or how good they are, if they maybe think they're superior to everybody else that they're playing against, no matter how good or even untalented a team might be, in order to win, a team has to learn to suffer. They have to learn how to suffer and know that you're not always going to control every single part of the game, that sometimes things are going to go against you, maybe refs' calls or a bounce here or a bounce there. And so learning to suffer is this idea that collectively, all together, they have to support each other. They have to trust their coach and their plan, but also to know that, like, you can't just judge how well you're doing by the results. You can't just assume that if things are going great, that means we're playing great, or vice versa, that if we're losing or if we give up a goal, that means we're playing terribly. Sometimes learning to suffer means that you kind of have to trust the process, the things that you can't necessarily see or touch, but to know that you are doing the right thing, that you can trust the person next to you to do the same as well. In fact, when Argentina won the World Cup 4 years ago, they talked about this kind of collective spirit of being willing to suffer, especially for Lionel Messi, their great player. That he couldn't win the tournament by himself, but if collectively they knew how to trust each other, how they could stand side by side and kind of rely on the things that weren't visible, they could actually come out on top. I actually think this gospel today is kind of Jesus' version of telling us how we have to learn to suffer as Christians. Not just to learn to do difficult things or to know that sometimes things won't quite go our way. That's kind of half of it. But it's also to see that we can actually trust and rely on the things that aren't physical, that aren't tangible in front of us, to know that we are actually united to the Lord, to know that we're actually doing the right thing, even if the results don't look like it at a particular moment. Because all throughout this gospel, Jesus is reminding especially the 12 apostles, as he's getting ready to send them out to do his work. If you remember last Sunday, we heard that message about there's the harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. So he's preparing to send them out to go do the work that he is doing. And as he's doing that, he's kind of making this separation between what is physical and what is spiritual or what is invisible. Not that it's fake or not real, but that the invisible reality is just as real as what we see physically. So when he talks about don't be afraid of those who kill the body, who can destroy or do something bad to us physically, they cannot kill the soul that is invisible. That even what is concealed will be revealed. All secrets will be made known. Again, I don't think from Jesus this is some sort of threat to the apostles. But he's wanting to encourage them and give them strength as he says, fear no one. Do not fear what you can see in this world. But instead, trust in the Heavenly Father. Again, to use kind of that term of learning to suffer on the soccer pitch, I think he's telling the apostles that they have to learn to not rely on what they see in the exterior world. Do not assume that if they're successful and lots of people are converted, that that means, oh, I must be doing a good job and I'm really holy right now. But more importantly, to know the opposite as well. That even when things don't look like they're being very successful, when it looks like my spiritual life maybe isn't that great or it's not making very much effect in the world, even then I can look to trust that in that invisible reality, the Lord is still united to me. That God still notices my good deeds, my prayer, my needs, even if the exterior, the visible world, doesn't seem to change much. Mother Teresa would often encourage her sisters when she was sending them out to care for the poor by saying, God calls you not to be successful, but to be faithful. Now, sometimes we hear that, I think, as Americans, and we think, well, okay, so we're called to be unsuccessful if we're going to follow Jesus. I don't think that's what Mother Teresa was saying. I think she wanted to encourage her sisters to know that their job was just to go and care for the poor and the needy that was put in front of them. Some days that would be dozens, if not maybe hundreds of people that came to them with some sort of need at the soup kitchen or in their hospitals. But other days it might be three people. Other days it might be there's not anybody directly in front of me, but I have to go clean the toilets and clean the kitchen and get ready for the next day. Well, the Teresa would say, we can't judge one day from the other to say, oh, well, the one day that I cared for a lot of people, I must have been doing such a good job, but the days that nobody was around for me to help, I must have been failing. I think she wanted her sisters to know that in those moments, they had to learn to suffer well, to trust that they were still united to Christ, our Savior, that even in those simple daily things, they could do them with great love and thus be united to Christ, our Savior. I think that's why Jesus tells the apostles to not be afraid, to not be worried about the ways that they can be affected physically or in the visible world. They can always be united to God, our Heavenly Father. That not only can they always be united to Him, but nothing escapes His vision. He actually notices those times that we go through physical sufferings or challenges. It doesn't kind of back away and judge us saying how poorly we're doing. Said he enters into that moment so that we can be strengthened. He enters into that moment and even that physical pain, not to take it away, not to act like it's no big deal, but so that he can show us his love in the midst of that. I think that's what the prophet Jeremiah is getting at in the first reading when he says there's all this bad stuff happening around me. Terror on every side, denounce, let us denounce it. He's saying that's what everybody's yelling at him. Basically, nobody wants to hear from the prophet Jeremiah. Those who were my friends are basically working against me. But the Lord is with me, like a mighty champion. And even though it didn't look like he was succeeding, even though the physical kind of tangible reality around him looked like he was failing or not a very good prophet, he said, Lord, I'm going to rely on the things that are not visible. To trust that you are still with me and you actually notice all this suffering that I'm enduring. It's actually what the church teaches us about the second coming and the final judgment of all people. That at the end of time, the church says everything will be made clear and known to all. That Jesus said the second coming will basically perform perfect justice. It'll show us the things that we did that maybe led to good things of others or things we didn't realize that affected others in such a bad way. And that can be kind of scary for us to kind of make sure everything is known, all those secrets will be laid bare. But I think for God, there's also a sense that he's going to notice those that have endured injustice, that he's on the side of the lowly and the poor, that even if during their earthly lives he didn't come back and fix that or give us back the things that we lost, he will at the end of time show that justice triumphs even for those that are poor and needy. He will show that his mercy noticed those moments of our suffering, and that our needs didn't go unheard or unresponded to. But instead, we just had to wait until that final moment where he will make all things right and show that his love and goodness conquers all sin and death. So brothers and sisters, let us pray that like the apostles, we will not be afraid. Not afraid of how the physical world might reject us or the difficult things we may have to endure in this world. Maybe especially let us not fear that we have to learn to suffer. We have to learn to suffer well, to endure those physical trials, not just as something to get through and to endure, but as something that teaches us to trust in the things that are invisible. To trust that as we encounter a physical world that may reject the goodness of God, He is still with us. To not judge that our holiness or our goodness is based on our actions or our successes. Instead, that we can simply continue to be faithful to Him, trusting that His goodness and love will overcome all things, both for us in this earthly life, but especially for all eternity in His heavenly kingdom.